Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses.
I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, performer, and mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one. Hey, everybody. We would like to thank our amazing sponsor, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting. FreshBooks is one of the best ways out there to organize your bookkeeping and your invoicing for creative entrepreneurs. So if you haven't checked them out, you definitely should. They can help you create and send professional-looking invoices in like 30 seconds or less, set up online payments in just a couple clicks and get paid faster. And then also you can see when your client's seen your invoices. So then you can actually send a little reminder through FreshBooks if you want to be passive aggressive. So FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners. And to claim it, just go to FreshBooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Before we get into the episode, we want to talk to you about our friends over at Art Feeds. We love them. They are super sweet girls that are hilarious. It's a nonprofit that uses art to explore emotional expression and creativity with kids. And they released a podcast called Art Feeds Says.
Woo!
They're so good. They're so funny. If you like listening to us, we know you'll love them too. They're going to be telling their story, introducing their kids that they work with, giving tips on how to make your life more creative. It's all good stuff. Highly entertaining. Give them a listen and subscribe to hear what's coming next.
Yeah, we'll link them in our show notes at shaylieandkatie.com. And I've listened to the first several, and it's so inspiring, guys. You're going to love
good.
It. You're going to love it.
Yes. They feed. They say.
They say things. They feed your soul with art.
It's Art Feed Says.
Snacks. Art snacks talks. Creative. Creative snacks.
Don't get talks. Confused about their rival, Art Snacks Talks.
Creative Snacks Talks.
It's not them. It's Art Feed Says. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. Now, today, Shaylee is flying solo with an interview, and Shaylee, I just listened to it, and I loved it.
Did you feel like empowered to prep?
I did, and you know what? I felt like you flew solo, little bird. You flew solo and you soared. Can I say that?
I don't know if I soared, but thank you.
But no,
thank
really, saying that. Allison from Prep Dish is not only an amazing chef; she's got a really good business mind. And I found the way that she structured her business to be totally inspiring. And then also just the way she talks about food and healthy eating. Also, it's like a double inspiration episode. You're going to leave wanting to cook fresh, and you're going to leave thinking, how can I make more money in my business? And which is always always a good challenge.
It's really smart.
Yeah, it's really, really smart. So I will say Shaylee and I have both actually done the actual meal plan prep dish. Shaylee's an overachiever, so she did the very long, drawn out, like, I think you grinded cashews at one point. Is that right?
You'll hear about it. You'll
little
hear
tease.
About it.
Shaylee would. She would find, like, the hardest one to start with. And then
I just did the one that was for that week.
It's true, but man,
I followed the rules.
But was it
Katie,
delicious?
Just picks whatever.
Was it delicious?
It was delicious.
Yes,
it was delicious.
And so then me in newborn land, I decided I was going to try the 1 hour prep version, which is the super quick. They send you one each month. That's like, if you only have an hour, do this. And it went so fast. Oh my gosh, it went so fast. And I had
an hour for the whole week.
For the whole week. And then I had all my dinners and all my breakfasts already prepped for the whole week. Actually, it's this current week, so I'm still eating on them, and they're all really good. And I just feel like it's kind of a brain saver. So,
yeah, Allison, though, is like, she's the perfect guest for like meal prep for busy people, and also she's a creative entrepreneur.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you have to be really creative to come up with recipes. So anyway, yeah, she has good sides. So
both
we're excited
sides.
For you guys
exactly.
to hear it.
But before you hear that interview, we of course have to thank our other amazing fake sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Crock-Pots. Crock-Pots, the original time saver.
The original prep meal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just have to come up with some tags for crockpots. Crockpots. When you want all your food to kind of taste crockpotty.
Crockpots. TM.
Crockpots.
When you want the rice to kind of taste like the chicken and the chicken to kind of taste like the beans. Crockpots.
Yeah. Crockpots. Are these crockpot potatoes or mashed potatoes? I left it in too long.
Yeah. Also, do not put broccoli at the beginning of your crock pot meal.
Oh, no.
Don't do it.
Or, like, bell peppers.
Yeah. Yeah, add those at the end.
However, I do love crock pots. I'm teasing, but I sometimes just have to do the meat in there and then cook everything else separately because my husband said it all just kind of tastes crock potty.
Yep.
I was like, you're right, because that's where I put it in 8 hours ago.
8 hours ago. Crock pots. When you want to have dinner 8 hours from now, you got to just...
If you feel like you're going to be hungry for some chicken and taco soup in 8 hours, crock pot it up.
Okay, thanks, crock pots.
Hey guys, so today on the podcast we have a very exciting guest with us. She is a food and nutrition culinary expert and the owner and founder of Prep Dish. You've probably already heard us talk a little bit about Prep Dish because we love it, so we decided to ask her on as a guest so we could learn a little bit more about the amazing woman in business behind our favorite healthy meals. She holds a bachelor's degree in culinary nutrition, a master's in nutrition communication, and she's a registered dietitian. She lives outside Austin, Texas. She loves yoga, hikes, and is basically the woman we all aspire to be. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Allison Schaaf. Is Schaaf?
Yeah, okay,
I got it. Awesome. Okay.
One of the few.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Allison.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Absolutely. So just to give everyone a little bitty cue, Katie is not on this actual interview. So she's not just being actually quiet. She had a baby like a week ago. So yeah. I'm doing the interview with you. Katie is so sad because she, you guys are like her girl business crush. And she's,
I love that.
Yeah, she's so excited to use you guys. I actually have started using the subscription and your meal prep, and it's literally, it's awesome. I posted a little bit about it, but I'm someone who like aspires to somewhat do well with that and cook healthy meals, but mm-hmm. I end up just like wandering around the grocery store, and then there's things that I don't know, or if I can't find them, then I get stressed out and I just make the same four things that I've always made. And that's what I think I said, like it usually involves cans of things. And or I have some items at the house, but I let them go bad because I just never use them. So I have peppers and then they all get kind of moldy and then I'm wasteful. And anyway, so basically I'm going to jump in. I know you can explain it better than I can, but basically it's a Prep Dish is a meal subscription service, meal prep, and like it explains a shopping list, a shopping list that you go, and then it's basically like, depending on the time and how fast you are prepping, you prep everything in one day, and then you have healthy meals for the whole week that are like so easy. So I thought you'd like chop it up, but then you'd still have to like cook it and make it, but it's literally like, then take the casserole dish, put it in at 375 and make some couscous with it, and you're done. So you literally are just rewarming and cooking things that are already prepped. It's really, really cool. So we're excited to hear how that happened, because I'm sure it was a really simple for you. You just woke up one day and started it, and it's where it's at.
Yeah, that's how businesses work, right?
Yeah, exactly. So okay, so for some of the creative entrepreneurs or women who are wanting to kind of start their own thing, I'm going to ask you a little bit about business questions first, and then we're going to get into some practical tips. Holidays are coming up, and I feel like that's one of the most stressful cooking times for moms and a lot of expectations. So we'll talk about that next. So, all right, how did you come up with the concept of Prep Dish?
Well, I started out as a personal chef. So I was going into people's homes and I would visit them once a week and do their prep for the week. And I did that because it allowed me to, you know, see multiple clients, which from a business standpoint made more sense. And, you know, I was doing that and really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the interaction that I had with my clients, that I, you know, had a close relationship with them. But the more I got into it, I realized long term, every single day leaving my house to go and cook probably wasn't the lifestyle that I wanted. I really loved to travel, and when I went on my own, that was one of the things I wanted to do more of. Well, I basically set myself into work that like allowed me to never travel because I was always there for my clients. And then it also was like, as I was doing it, I wasn't getting home money to cook for myself. And I started doing the same system that I was doing for my clients, which was like on Sunday afternoon, I would prep everything. So then when I got home, I'd have some healthy food ready to go. I had this little rule that my clients couldn't eat better than I was,
or oh, that
I was too
rule.
Busy. It was hard to like stick with that. But sometimes I'd be creating this like amazing dish for them. And I'm like, wait, I need to do this for myself too. So I would always kind of check myself in that way. Yeah. So then as I was going along doing that, and I created the system for myself and realizing I didn't want to maybe necessarily do that long term, I was like, well, gosh, there's got to be a way that I could transfer some of my skills online and I could reach more people and also just kind of create a business more in the way that I wanted it to work. So I ended up, eventually I hired a replacement. So I still have the personal chef company. I just have another chef that does the cooking for me.
Nice.
And, you know, it took a few years of different trial and error and all that, but I basically put together my system of prepping ahead of time and put that into a downloadable e-product that I sell subscriptions of online. And, you know, it took that system that I created years ago as a personal chef and just put it into a format that, you know, busy moms at home can use. And, that's how it started.
And it literally is, it's so smart. So just from a business perspective, you're talking about, like, I think we do video production. So right now we make like one video, we're paid one time for it, and then you're done. And you can only expand as many billable hours as you yourself have. And so what you've done is created something to where you can work the same amount and or less and have residual income there's no limit to it, basically, because there's no limit to busy moms who need food. But that's so, I don't know, that's encouraging, I think, for me and then even our listeners of just being creative and kind of going after it. When did you slowly stop taking clients? Did you kind of go full throttle? Was it a rocky road, or did you kind of just have it organically happen as you went?
No. So the one thing I found with hiring is in my mind, I always know I need to do it. And I always say I'm going to do it. But a lot of times it's not until something really triggers me that, you know, forces me into it that I take action. So, you know, I'd been saying like, well, gosh, you know, if I really want to focus on these meal plans, I did both at the same time for a few years. And I was like, I really need to, you know, hire someone to help me with the personal chef thing. And so I kind of had hired someone and we were both working together. But then around that same time, I met my now husband. And when we got engaged, I realized, you know, something that I'd been saving money from working for myself and something that I really wanted to do was take an awesome honeymoon. And I wanted to take off from work. And so I knew that I needed to have a chef in place that could handle my clients. Because the way I bill, I have the same clients for basically a year and they're on year contracts. So I can't really take off, you know, for a long period of time. And I didn't want to miss weeks on them. So I have some of the same clients for years. And so, you know, I put together this plan that, man, I need to hire someone. And even though I had someone that I was working with, it really kind of forced me to get serious about it and hire a full replacement. And as soon as I stopped working in that business, I mean, I still do some work in it, but I don't do any of the cooking unless I have to like fill in. As soon as I stopped that, it was like, wow, why didn't I do this so long ago? And so long ago, I thought about it, but it was like working towards that honeymoon that really forced me to like do it.
Yeah, it's hard to let go. It's hard to let go of control.
Yeah.
And realize, like, even if somebody doesn't do it exactly like I do it, if it's still executed with excellence and done correctly, it's okay if my hands aren't touching everything, literally, in this case.
Yeah.
But that's hard to do, and that's interesting. So many times, it's something that you get kind of, like, kicked out forced into it.
And when you find the right people, I mean, honestly, it's like you find people that are better than you are at doing it. And you watch them, and I see my chef now, and I look at some of her recipes, and I'm like, damn, you're rocking this. Like, and you know, I kind of had lost the, you know, I didn't have quite as much passion for it either by the, you know, the last maybe like 6 months. I've been trying to hire, and I've had a few like mishires and. So I think by the time it was time for me to step away from that portion of the business, I was so kind of ready to do that and move on to, and also Prep-Dish had started taking off. And so I knew that I needed to focus more time and energy. And as soon as I did that, you know, all of a sudden we were making a profit. So it's, you know, it's pretty hard to try and do multiple things at once. You know, you really have to know where your focus is.
Yeah. How long, this is just like a random, maybe technical question, but when you're investing in building something like this, because your website is, it's really simple to use, but just from knowing the little amount that I do, it's pretty complicated to get it to that point and house all the information on there where it's easy to access. Yeah. With the investment into your new business, how long did it take until you tipped over the actual like profitable range?
Yeah, I think it was like 2 or 3 years, to be honest, because in the beginning, it was just so new to me. So with the personal chef business, I was profitable the first month because I had a knife, I had a chef jacket, and I started charging.
Service, yeah.
So that was so simple. And then I got into this online business, and I don't think I really knew what I was getting into. And luckily, I did have, you know, that personal chef business and that income to kind of, that's how I started it. You know, I had money saved through that, and I was able to continue working, and then I, you know, continued to make a profit from it even when I stepped out of it. But yeah, it took a few years, and I think it could be done. And gosh, that was back in 2013, maybe, and or 12, I think is when I got the idea and kind of implemented it in 2013. So, you know, even in those 4 years, it's amazing some of the online resources and online shopping carts, and some of that has gotten easier. And, you know, for someone, you know, depending if someone's in there full time, you know, maybe it's faster. But yeah, there was a good few years of me putting money into it, putting time into it. And just, you know, it wasn't profitable for those first few years. It really took a lot of time and money to get it to the place where it is now.
Well, I think that that's good because you started it even, it was like your side hustle, and you started it before you had everything figured out, which I think a lot of times if people wait until, it's like if you wait until you can afford to have kids, you'll never have kids or whatever, whatever the thing is.
Exactly.
But if you wait until you know, like you're going to learn so much in the process of just jumping in and trying it, that's that's where you learn how to make it successful. You can't just learn all of that and then decide to do it because it won't. You'll just never do it, probably.
Oh, yeah. So much that. I mean, everything, every day I have to remind myself that. There's always things that we're trying out and testing, and it's like you're better off just doing it and, you know, kind of thinking through, well, what's the worst that can happen? And it's usually not as big as the fear that you have for doing it. So you have to kind of look at it that way, too.
You focus your meal plans, so when you get the email for the subscription, you go on the website, you can basically choose a gluten-free or a paleo option, and then once you click it, it downloads your, they're the same menus, but they're tweaked differently. So why did you choose, this is a Katie question, why did you decide to make paleo and gluten-free your focus?
Well, so in a way, that was kind of pre-decided, because about 5 years ago, I found out I was gluten intolerant, and because I was creating all of the meal plans, I, you know, had to do them gluten-free because I, you know, can't test gluten recipes. And the paleo portion was more that in my work with clients and just sort of some functional medicine doctors here in town, and seeing how much the paleo diet really helped them and improved their health. So I included paleo, but starting out, it was actually just the gluten-free, and then I added the paleo in later on when I realized that my gluten-free plans were pretty darn close to paleo, and so I could make a few tweaks and make them, you know, have both options, so that way people that needed to follow a paleo diet for health reasons, they had an option there that I could provide for them.
Totally. Well, as a dabbler in gluten-free and paleo, as I like to call myself, I think it's so even if you don't want to eat 100% gluten-free or paleo, it's perfect because it's four meals, and it's basically you can always substitute or add in rice or bread if you want, or cheese or whatever. You can always, you make it so easy to where you can sub things in and out. And you even give tips for, like, you could use this instead of that. And it's just, it feels like I have a lot more control over it. Or if I just want to do two prep recipes this week instead of four because of my prep time, or we're going to be out of town for half the week. It's just, I feel like I have a lot of control over it. And then I feel like I have really healthy meals that I can make a little bit less healthy if I want to, or if my husband or daughter wants to eat something with bread in it or whatever. But for the most part, we need to be eating more that way anyway. So even as someone who's not strictly paleo or gluten-free, I love that it is, because it gives you a good like a measure of your goal of where you should be. So yeah, and then I'm okay. So this side tangent, sorry. On one of the last things that I made was the okay. So I'm not a chef or even a decent cook. I feel like I have like I'm good at crock pots, and I have like maybe 10 things in my Rolodex. But I made the vegan broccoli cheese soup. So I've never made anything vegan except for like something that obviously would just be vegan, like a salad. But
yeah,
I was so proud of myself because I boiled cashews. And then I blended it all with the sautéed, like, broccoli and onions and the vegetable broth or whatever. And I literally was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I've never boiled a nut. I've never put all the – I haven't even used my blender in, like, a year. It was really – it was bad. But I got it all out, and I had my little food processor going. Anyway, and it was, like – it was actually really good, and I didn't know – I mean, I guess you can substitute cashew for, like, the cheese – kind of texture.
Cheese or kind of more like a cream, but yeah, you can do a cashew. So like with lasagnas, I'll do a cashew cheese, but then with soups, it kind of adds, like, instead of adding heavy cream, because broccoli soup usually has a lot of heavy cream, you just add the pureed cashews, and it's crazy. Like, if you wouldn't tell someone, they wouldn't even know they're there.
No, like, I sprinkled like a tiny bit of like actual cheese on the top of it, like cheddar cheese, for my husband and daughter, but like, it's so good. Like, it tastes right, like you wouldn't know. And that to me in itself, I feel like it's almost like a little crash course in teaching me things that I never would have ever tried a recipe. It breaks it down so easy to where a recipe would stress me out because it doesn't dumb it down for me enough, I guess, where I just wouldn't even try the recipe. This breaks it down to where before I know it, I'm like boiling and processing a cashew where maybe I wouldn't have even attempted to do that before. And now I'm like, I nailed it. I can do it. I can process a cashew into broccoli cheese soup. So anyway, that was my side tangent. I was so excited. I texted Katie and said, I boiled cashews and I made broccoli cheese soup.
So that's awesome. I love that recipe. That's definitely it. That was one. So this was the great thing about doing the personal chef work. That was the one that I used for my clients a lot, and they would always love it. So
yeah, and it vegan keeps clients so well
back when I started.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Okay. So last one on business, what does a day in your life look like? So a normal random like Wednesday or Monday.
Well, I'm sure you can probably guess, but no 2 days are alike. you know, even no 2 Mondays are always alike. In the past few months, so in May of this year, we bought a house outside of Austin. Mm-hmm. So my days are starting to look a little more routine and normal. Last year we did a lot of traveling, so it was very, but it's funny, even when I travel, I'll have some work days, and I do kind of have some certain, you know, routines and habits that I try and keep the same no matter where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So I try as much as I can to keep mornings to myself. I'm a morning person. I'm the most productive in the morning. And so I try to block off that time to not have calls or even emails, just like not even open that part of it and just focus on whatever focus work I need to do, whether it's working on one of our challenges that we're doing and writing those emails. Those are something that kind of takes a lot of focus for me. Or, you know, some recipe stuff and trying to, you know, plan out recipes for one of our months or just any type of focus work that usually happens in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the afternoon, you know, if I have any calls that need to be made or anything like that, I try and schedule those for in the afternoon. I usually try and fit in a workout in the afternoon as well because my energy kind of slumps anyway. So I take that time to, maybe do a 20-minute workout, or if I don't do that, then I go on a walk at the end of the night. But I don't usually work out in the mornings just because that is kind of more my time. With my team, we kind of have a regular schedule of Tuesdays are kind of my morning where I do have calls. So I have a call with my team. I have an accountability group that I really love, and we have our calls on Tuesdays. And I also have an assistant, so I have a call with her on Tuesday. So I kind of block all those. So I just know Tuesday morning is like calls with everyone to touch base.
Yeah.
To touch base and make sure everything's going properly. And I do sometimes, I'm not always great at this, but I do sometimes like to have either a day or an afternoon. I have a friend that I go on a hike with now that I'm living out near hiking areas, but where I try and not work during the week, either going and do, sometimes ends up going and doing errands or something like that. And then sometimes if I have to swap that out and maybe work a little bit on Saturday morning, I still like to have like a day during the week where I'm not working. I just find that it's kind of nice to have that mental break. So, but I don't know. It varies so much. If you're interested, I guess in the morning, I have kind of, that's where most of my routine is. And at night, so when I wake up in the mornings, me and my husband both meditate before we even get out of bed. And then I do lemon water first thing in the morning and have breakfast and look at my goals for the, not really my goals, but I look at my schedule and my sort of tasks that I want to accomplish for that day.
Yeah.
So I always do all of that stuff. And that's something I've really had to learn through the years of being an entrepreneur, is like, look at that stuff first and then get into those tasks and don't even look at my email until later in the day. So if there's one thing I've learned, that's like one of them, is, you know, you know the important things you need to be doing, but it's so easy to get caught up in the busy work and not focus on those. But if you don't do that, you're never going to really be growing. And you're also not going to end up doing things that you enjoy. I don't think anyone really wants to just spend all day emailing back and forth, you know? That's not as fulfilling as the deep work is.
I love that you work out in the middle of the day, because I feel like my brain is like, if I miss it first thing in the morning and I don't do it at night, then there's not ever an option in the middle of the day. But I'm also a sweater. So I feel like it's like a whole process, because then I'd have to take a shower and all that kind of stuff. But even if I just did like a 15-minute little mini workout. So,
yeah.
And then, man. And I also liked how, as an entrepreneur, you've created a schedule to where you can have that free day during the week and then decide if you want to work a little bit on Saturday to make it up, because you feel like you're a kid that's like on a sick day of school where no one's out. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that I will never do on the weekend now because I have the option to do them during the week, like go to the grocery store.
I refuse to do any errands on the weekend. Like, I can't stand going into stores with crowds.
No, definitely. Okay, so that's great. So getting into practical tips. So that was an awesome snapshot, and I feel like really inspiring for your business side. So now the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving's going to be here in 2 or 3 weeks. And then Christmas, obviously, is another big one. And then even, like, snacks for the new year. But they're so hard, and they can be so stressful, especially if you're hosting families, trying to figure out matching outfits for your kids' pictures, for the Christmas card, and whatever, running around. What are your favorite overall tips for keeping, like, a handle on your holiday schedule and still making and prepping healthy meals for your family, or, like, holiday menu items?
Yeah, so one thing is, you know, with prep dish, it's prep ahead, but it's, you know, a week at a time. But when it comes time for the holidays, especially if you know you're going to be hosting or having people staying over, as much as you can. And now, you know, this is, you know, right, the perfect time to start prepping meals that you can stick in the freezer. So we have some freezer meal handouts that are sort of the same concept, but instead of, you know, putting it in the fridge for that week, you put them in the freezer for later on. And so things like, you know, a stew that you can put into the crock pot, or a lasagna that you can put into the oven. So if you could have all of those things kind of in the freezer and waiting for you, then, you know, when it comes time, all you do is like add a salad and you've got your meals. So
I would say
as much as possible. And maybe it doesn't even need to be the main meals. I don't know. My family tends to be more, you know, if we're doing the main meal, all the women are in the kitchen, they're all helping out, and they're doing the turkey and this and that.
Yeah.
It's more like after that's done, you know, what are we going to need to fill in with? And, you know, maybe it's something like that broccoli soup is in the freezer and you can pull that out one night. So
yeah.
I mean, I think my biggest tip is, you know, if you could have things in the freezer, that's like, that's really the move to do, if that's possible.
No, that's genius, because I was expecting, like, your solution to be some way that you could still prep, but you're right. If you do all the prep weeks ahead of time, you don't even have to worry about doing anything except for letting it thaw out in the fridge. And is that where you thaw it? Okay, so how long can you keep something in the freezer? That's a good question. Does it change if it has meat in it or not meat?
Most things are good for like 3 to 6 months. And they're not going to be, the only thing that might happen is if they would get freezer burn and they would taste off, but it's not going to be like give you food poisoning or something, okay. Right? Because the freezing like stops any sort of growth from happening. So yeah, 3 to 6 months is usually fine. And I'm sure I've kept things in there much longer than that.
The smell test. It looks okay.
I'm still alive.
I'm pretty sure our grandmas froze stuff for like 5 years and would feed it to us. So we're probably, six months rule. No, that's good. That's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. Does Prep Dish have like, I haven't subscribed during the holidays. Do they have like a special menu for like holiday type meals that come out around the holidays?
Yeah, so we have two different things. We actually have a holiday cookbook that has, I haven't looked at it in a while because we've just started talking about it again. I don't think we've even started, off making promotions until after Halloween.
Yeah, we're recording this in October, surprise.
Oh, yeah. but it has at least 30 different recipes and it's things like appetizers and soups and there is a lasagna recipe in there and just different things that you can serve during the holidays. Mm-hmm. And it does have like gluten-free stuffing and I think a cranberry sauce. And so it has the more traditional recipes as well as actually, I think the vegan broccoli soup is in there.
Ooh, vegan broccoli soup. That's what it's called. I'm like broccoli cheese soup with cashews blended and boiled. That's my name for it. Yes.
That probably maybe sounds better. I don't know. Vegan broccoli soup may not sound that delicious. But
yeah, I don't think for marketing my title will work too well. So that's awesome. And then I noticed even like in the fall, a lot of the recipes had like pumpkin seeds or different spices that kind of like there was something with cinnamon and butternut squash. It was mm-hmm. so good that I put, and I also didn't know, this is something else. It was such a learning experience. I didn't know I could put my pot with the silicone handles with the lid into the oven. And it said to do it in the directions and I didn't believe it. And so I Googled the brand that I had and everything. And it was like up to 350 degrees. It's safe. And that's exactly what the recipe called for was 350 degrees. So I did that for the, there were a lot of firsts happening. With my Prep Dish experience. So anyway, that's fun. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we do try and keep them seasonal as much as possible. And I know like during Christmas time, I have a snack or something that's a fruit salad that's kiwi and pomegranate. I mean, that's super simple, but it's one of those things that's kind of fun and, festive and all of that. So I try and just think of fun things to add in depending on the season.
Yeah, and then that is helpful if you're shopping at the farmer's market or something and it's in season. Actual foods. That's obviously also mm-hmm. helpful. One other kitchen question. What are some top tools? So let's say someone's like me. I have a friend. No. and they have everything from their wedding that was 9 years ago. And they have knives from IKEA and then maybe two knives that are like semi-nice, but not like super nice, fancy chef knives. What if I was going to invest or ask for like Christmas gifts from my parents or whatever, or invest in some nice kitchen tools myself? What are like the top tools for like starting out that are the must-haves?
Number one is a good knife. You know, the plans require some chopping and really any sort of healthy, if you're going to be trying to eat healthier, you're going to need to do some chopping of vegetables. Some you can buy pre-chopped, but there's going to be some chopping required and a good solid knife. And it saves so much time. I used to teach cooking instructions in people's houses and coming in and watching them trying to cut something with a paring knife, you know, that might take 30 minutes to cut your little cherry tomatoes with a paring knife. But if you have a nice sharp chef's knife, everything's so much faster and it's safer because you're less likely to slip and cut yourself. So that's recommendation number one for sure. And if you have a good chef's knife, but it's not sharp, take it in to get it sharpened. I fall into this trap where I'll forget to do that. And then once you do it, it's like mind blown. It's like, oh, this is what this knife is supposed to do.
So is it okay? So a chef's knife, is that the name of it is just like a chef knife? Like I just need a chef's knife. Is it
anything? Anything that's bigger than 5 inches, I would say.
Okay. Okay.
Like the, yeah.
Okay. And then any other tips of tools?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few other things. A good cutting board is also, I mean, it's the same thing, right? It comes down to the chopping, but, right. You know, I've seen people with decorative glass cutting boards. That's a huge pet peeve. You can't really cut on those.
Right.
But like a nice big wood cutting board. And it's nice if you buy a nice one. I always use it as a cheese board as well when I'm entertaining. So that's kind of a dual purpose if you want to splurge and get a really nice wooden cutting board.
And then
some sort of, you know, blender or food processor. They're usually interchangeable. Sometimes one is better than the other, but, you know, having at least one of those two, you know, as you've mentioned, a lot of the prep dish recipes do require some sort of like blending or chopping in the blender. Just, you know, it's usually faster if you can just throw everything in the blender and let it go.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And also, not to keep talking about my prep dish experience, but everything's divided into what you're doing, which is also cool. So, like, all the blending happens at one time, all the chopping happens at one time for, like, all of the recipes simultaneously. I felt like I was on, like, MasterChef Junior with, like, an internal clock that I set myself, and I was, like, chopping and cutting and blending and cooking and sauteing. And anyway, it was the least stressful cooking fancy recipes have ever been and the most productive. So you've definitely tapped into something good for if I could handle it and handle nice recipes. Yeah. Cause I'm not like the I never cook person, but yeah, again, I don't have a chef's knife, so I'll work on maybe that'll be on my Christmas list. Okay. So this is going to be just a super quick round. Questions. They can be like super short answers. And we'll go through them really quick, and then we're going to do a fun challenge, and then we'll wrap this up. So what if I'm too busy to meal prep a week? Is there anything I can do in 1 hour that will help?
Oh, well, we actually have each month we have one plan that we call super fast.
Okay.
And that one, we set a timer and it actually only takes 1 hour. So it's like simple things like using pre-chopped vegetables, maybe not using a marinade for your meat. So they're a little like simpler meals, but it's really quick and easy. But yeah, I would say the key is to like buy pre-chopped vegetables and maybe not use not use marinades or just use balsamic vinegar or something.
Cool. That's perfect. Oh my goodness. Use a lot of everything. Okay. What tip do you have for our listeners if they're trying to find like a creative way to do what they love for a living? That's kind of a hard question to be in a rapid fire, but.
Gosh, if they want to do what they love for a living, I mean, I would say just start taking steps towards it, you know, set aside time in the morning, like, you know, I was mentioning earlier, and have time where you just focus on that. Either it's taking steps towards it or journaling about why you want to do that or mapping out an outline or a plan. But if you can give yourself time, focus time to think about that, I think you'll gradually make steps in the right direction.
Cool. Okay. What's something you would go back and tell yourself at 18?
Oh, gosh. At 18, I think I would say, it's all going to work out, I think. I think at 18, I just like, I was pretty clueless at 18.
Weren't we all? You'd whisper, start prep dish now. Take over the world.
Yeah, start out on your own earlier, too. I mean, I started out with a real job, so I thought I had to, but looking back, I needed to for my confidence at the time, but I probably didn't actually need to.
Yeah, you have the least responsibilities when you're 18, I feel like. So, like, 18-year-olds, if you're listening, go for it. And you have your whole life to have a real job if you need it. And then your favorite go-to Netflix snack or whatever you watch or entertain yourself with.
Usually it's, depending on the evening. Well, it's more like what beverage do I have in my hand? So it's either a chai, like a caffeine free chai with, you know, some coconut milk in it or a glass of wine. The snacks can rotate between like, I don't know, chocolate or coconut flakes or something, but the beverage is more important to me, I think.
Okay. That's like what you like ponder over and get excited for.
I like to relax with, like, a nice either hot glass of tea or a nice glass of wine.
Nice. Okay. So this last little thing we're going to do is a challenge. There's no pressure to be a hero. It's more for fun, but we're going to do a little, you don't have to role play, but I'm going to give you a situation and then you can tell us how you would navigate it. So okay. We'll say that I'm the person. So I'm me. I have one very active 2-year-old with me. I have about 10 minutes to swing by a grocery store and 15 minutes to prep at home. What do I prep? What do I make? What meal?
I would do grainy chicken thighs. So it's just like chicken, and I put grainy mustard on top and bake it. And then I'd also bake it alongside asparagus, because you only have to chop the ends off, and that like takes 2 seconds. Uh-huh. And whatever, either with a side salad, or if you could find a pre-cut vegetable, like maybe butternut squash or something, and it's pre-cut all the time now, and would do those 2 veggies on the side.
And you just bake them all together?
Yep. The asparagus I would do later, because it does only take like 10 or 15 minutes, but the squash and the chicken you could bake alongside each other.
So the chicken, you just take the chicken and then you rub that grain, the mustard with like those little seed grains in it?
Yep.
And then you just rub that on it, and that sounds so good. Of course you answered that really great.
Me and my husband eat that all the time. It's like one of his favorite dishes, and it's so easy. So I end up using that a lot. Even when we have company, sometimes I'll use that one and just like serve it with a really nice salad and, I don't know, vegetable of some sort. And everyone always loves that one.
Does it work best if you use the whole chicken, or can you do it with like chicken breast too?
You can do chicken breast. I like the thighs better, but I've done boneless, skinless thighs. I've done ones with skins and bones. I've done it with breasts. All of those work, but my preference is thighs.
Okay, and the thighs have the bones in them, correct?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. One, if you want it to cook faster, you should actually get it without the bones.
Okay, good to know. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. Now my stomach is literally like rumbling.
I know, I'm ready for lunch now.
I know. Okay, so if our listeners want to find you, how can they find you? We'll tag you in the show notes and link you in our Instagram, mm-hmm. but just if any of them are just listening.
Yeah, so, I'm at PrepDish, so that's on all the social channels. And then I'm also have a 2-week free trial that's set up at, I think it's prepdish.com/SK.
Yes.
And yes, so if they want to give it a 2-week try and just see how it goes, I always say, try it for 2 weeks and see if it's a fit. You know, everyone, there's a lot of different options out there, and maybe we're a fit or maybe not, but you never know unless you try it. So.
Totally. Okay, so that's prepdish.com/SK, and we'll put a link to that in our Instagram profile as well as our show notes as well. But really, guys, you should try it, if no other reason than to support an awesome business, and then see if it makes your life a little bit easier, because I've loved it. So thank you so much for doing this interview and taking time out of your busy life. Maybe it's not busy because you've prepped everything and you just have like 30 minutes,
yeah,
30 minutes of anything to do today.
I do try and get away from calling it busy. Like, I watch my language around that, but depending on the week, it's not all just like sitting back and relaxing.
No, you've done a good job. You're very inspirational as a lady who has done everything well. So I'm excited to, I think that your talk and kind of tips will help maybe push some people over the edge into entrepreneurship as well. So that's exciting.
Good. I'm glad. It was a fun conversation. So thank you so much for inviting me and having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, I hear her. Can you take a screenshot if I hold her up?
No, I have poor video. My video went off on you a long time ago.
Oh, really? Okay, I will see if I can take a screenshot. I want to see if you can see Sadie and the microphone.
I'm getting a good angle.
Let's see.
This is my MySpace angle.
How can I do it with one hand? That's the real trick. Oh, I don't think I can. Not without dropping the infant.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously, we love you.